Phenomena Research in Seattle, Washington, and you've been referred, or we've been referred to you by Mr. Paul Brady regarding the disappearance of your brother.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could give us a rundown of just what's going on down there.
Well, they, what's happened now is they discontinued the search now. They decided that he isn't around in the area. They went horseback and helicopter and everything else, couldn't spot him. What happened was the boys were coming out about, I guess about 6 o'clock in the evening. They were thinning wood for the Forest Service, and it was about dark about that time, and they were trying to cram as much work as they could get in for the day. Their contract was running out real quick, and they were start driving out, and my brother was riding in the front seat. It was in the crew cab pickup, international crew cab pickup, and he was riding in the front seat on the passenger side next to the door. Looked out, he was driving up the road, and there was a thicket, and after they passed the thicket, they looked off to the right, and he saw this glow, and he yelled, flying saucer, and everybody turned around and looked, and here it was, and before the truck could even get stopped, he jumped out of the truck, run up, which was, which we'd spotted flying objects before, and he'd made up his mind that if he ever saw one, he was going to try to communicate with one, and before the truck could get stopped, like I was saying, and he jumped out and run up towards it and threw his hands up in the air and to show that, no, you know, he meant no harm. And the guy said that the ship started rocking and started building up a high-pitched whine, and all of a sudden this blue flash come out from underneath it, in a, they said that it was in a beam form.
Yes.
Just a little bit wider than his shoulder that covered him, and it silhouetted him because it was so bright it silhouetted him where they could see him. They weren't sure whether it hit him directly, but part of it did. They thought part of it did. But anyway, he collapsed and hit the ground, and they panicked then, and they drove off and left him, and they went up the road to the entrance to the main road coming along in that area. They were on a little logging road. And they stopped and started talking about what they should do, and they decided they might go to this deer hunting camp and get those guys to help them, and they headed for the camp, and then they said, no, they better go. They looked back when they did that, and they saw a flash over the trees heading in the opposite direction out, and so they decided to better run down and see if they could help Travis, and when they got down there, he wasn't there.
I see. Now, what period did anyone ever give a time estimate of between the time that this thing was first seen and the time that
it went back?
They went back, yes.
Yeah, approximately. They said they'd guessing. They'd say approximately about 8 to 10 minutes.
Well, then this thing must have been in the area for quite a while, even after they left.
Yeah.
Did they examine? Was anyone examine the ground?
Well, they we had a guy come in today from what is it, aerial phenomena?
From Tucson?
From Phoenix.
Yes.
Within relation with William Spaulding or somebody like
that? Oh, yes, yes.
He was up there today. I can't remember his name, but long-haired, fairly long-haired fellow, kind of reddish tint to it. And he's from Phoenix, and he's giving a talk, I guess. William Spaulding and all of them are going to give a talk. He gave us guests a ticket to come down to the lecture given in Phoenix on January the 9th or something like
that. Oh, yes.
But anyway, he said that when we asked for the reading, everybody treated it as a hoax and stuff. They, even the law enforcement tried to cover it up, and they kidded the kids that was there and called them hippies and everything else. And one kid just come off his mission. He's the LDS boy and just got off his mission, and he's straight as could be. None of them smoke or drink or anything like this or even mess with junk or anything.
Yes.
But we finally, Thursday afternoon when they started, or Thursday morning when they started the search, and somebody mentioned that they ought to take a reading of it with a Geiger counter. And so I had my compass. I just walked over there and said my compass reacted in it all. It moved just a little bit, but it didn't move very much.
Yes.
And so they called in one that afternoon and got one in, but it was under insistence that, you know, they kicked it aside when they first mentioned it, and then we finally insisted that they get a Geiger counter up there. But it read on Mike, it read up on the 6 on the scale, but they had it set it at 0.01 on the scale on the Geiger counter.
Uh-huh.
And it just read up to 6 on Mike. It read on a luminous dial up to 3. And on the ground, it read anywhere from 1 to up to 3 in different spots. But they didn't take a real good area. They just picked one spot in the area, and that was it.
I see.
And this guy come in today with his meters and everything else, and he got abnormal reading, is what he called it. He read the trees and everything else around it, and he said that it was definitely indicated. He said he wished he'd been there within 8-10 hours of the time, but they kept it hushed up until Friday before anybody even knew it, before they hit the hotline, you know.
Yes.
And he said that they possibly would send somebody up Monday to, because he said he got enough indication that they should send somebody up to take some more readings and everything.
So did he take any soil samples at all?
No, he didn't. He said that if given this length of time, they might not be any good, but he said that this guy will come up with the equipment to do this kind of stuff if he thought it was feasible to do it.
Okay, has there been any rainfall in the area?
No, it's
okay.
Been perfectly dry.
Uh-huh.
It freezes at night.
How many people were involved in this? Now, there seems to be a contradiction of that.
There was, counting my brother, there were seven.
There were seven, okay.
Yeah.
Now, how would I go about getting the names in, of these other people?
I can give you part of them, and I can't remember all of them. It was Mike Rogers, which was the crew chief.
And do you have his phone number?
No, he doesn't have a phone.
Okay.
But I can have him call you or anything you want from my
okay.
phone. Okay. Mike Rogers, he's about 27-year-old. Married and got kids and stuff. Kenny Peterson, who just recently got married and they have a kid, and this is one that gives the information over the TV and everything else.
I see.
The LDS boys come off his mission. John Gallette. What's Alan's name?
Dallas.
Alan Dallas. There was a guy by the name of Dwayne. I don't remember what his last name was.
And Steve. What's his last name?
And there was a Stephen in there, but I can't remember his last name either.
Okay. But did you talk to those people immediately after this happened?
Yes. Well, not immediately, because when they went up and found Travis wasn't there, they turned around and rushed into a little town of Heber about 8-10 miles away or a little bit more, and they called the law, and then the law came out and searched for it. But they didn't get... That was at 6 o'clock when they saw that, and then... By the time they got in to let us know, they got Mom at 1 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock, then they woke me up and got me out. And
well, now, when you talk to these people, what was their concern? Did they seem as though they were really shaken up, or was it, were they calm about the whole thing?
Well, this Mike Rogers, which is crew chief that these guys work for, he passed out 3 different times. They literally had to pick him up and get him back on his feet again. He just literally passed out.
Is that after he got back?
Yeah, that's after he got back. Every time he went out, he just literally passed out. And he was shaking, and a kid that just come off his mission, we asked him what he felt about it, and he said, well, you know, he said, I've never seen a UFO. I've heard it talked about it, and he said, I was really skeptical about it, which, you know, is part of their teachings, you know. That,
yes.
This is what it is. And he said, but now, he said, I'm a firm believer, and he was badly shaken. And the other kid said that he doesn't believe in flying saucers, but he saw one.
Okay.
The rest of them all agree in the stories. There's just a minute amount of difference in it, not enough to even to warrant that there was anything different than
yes.
What
yes, well, of course, there's always a difference when you have different people telling stories. Okay, now I got Mike Rogers, Kenny Peterson, John Gallette, Alan Dallas, and
it's Dwayne, whatever his last name is, I don't know. He's a new kid to come up. There were 3 new kids that was there on the job. The others were old hands at it. They knew one another, except for this Dwayne. He only met Mike 4 days before this sighting happened.
Uh-huh.
Now, the rest of them knew each other for quite a long time.
How about the ages on these fellows?
Anywhere from the age of 20 up to 27.
20 to 27, okay.
Yeah.
Then you've just about eliminated the possibility of any type of hoax.
Well, right. They put dogs in there, helicopters. They put horseback riders. They've covered an area in there that's probably 5 square miles.
Okay, then Travis, he has always had an interest in this subject.
Yes, he has. He's got a high IQ and everything. He's really... He's level-headed, isn't he? He never pulled anything dumb like this or anything like this, you know, where it'd be a hoax or anything.
Yes.
And... He's just not the person that fits that.
Okay. Since that has happened now, has there been anything strange that has happened in the area or...
Well, they had a sighting not more than probably about 20 miles away of a woman spotting this, and this guy that was up today had the information on it, too.
That was the same night?
Yeah.
I see. And there has been nothing else other than that. Have you had anything yourself, being as close as you are to him, have you had anything, any mysterious phone calls or...
This is what he asked us to. He said, usually, you know, you have this, in some instances, they run across this. But there's been nobody that's phoned or nothing. These boys are just working and they're coming in when they spotted it.
Okay, sir. I'm going to leave our office number with you, and if any of these other gentlemen would care to call us, why, we'd like to arrange something for a telephone interview.
Okay.
And that's the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, Washington. I'd like very much to talk to this Mike Rogers, seeing that he has had apparently some sort of physical shock from this.
Yeah. Yeah, they told us not to mess with the car or bang the hood or anything, or the top of the car, not put no magnets around or anything to where they could get reading off on that.
Right. I'm very surprised they didn't get in on that right away.
Well, the law covered it up. In fact, as they run a guy away from it yesterday that was from Flagstaff, and they run him away and told him that they didn't want him even messing around there until after they had the lie detector test given. And they really treated this as a farce.
Uh-huh. Now, that test, is that going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, it's going to be given in Holbrook tomorrow. We're going to demand a taping of that so that they can take the tapes and get a reading off that, too.
Okay. Now, we would very, very much appreciate getting a copy of those, if possible. We'll be more than happy to pay.
What, on the tapes?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything that we can get in relation to this case would be most appreciated.
Okay, we'll do it.
And if anything important should come up in relation to this, well, we'd appreciate hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go back out. We figured we'd let everything quiet down. We've been going out and staying at night out there after sun goes down by ourselves and after everything quiets down, but we figured we'll give it another couple of days and we'll go back out and sit out there and watch and see if anything happens.
I hope you'll be equipped with a good camera.
Hey, I got a good camera.
Good. Well, thank you very much for talking to me.
Okay.
Bye.